this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy. And please subscribe to our channel and check out our great sponsors, Your Dolce Vita, Italy Rooting, and Abitivo Casa. And my guest today is Mary Schultz. So welcome, Mary. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
So I see a great picture behind you. I'm going to start with that. Who's that?
That is my aunt. If you read the little information I gave you, this would be my mother's sister, Gustav's daughter. So she was a second generation.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so great to have a picture like that, especially framed on the glass and everything. That's super.
Yeah, I have a few of them. I was fortunate to be the conservator of all the photos for the family. I'm not sure that's a good thing.
I know, it kind of fell on me too, at least for all the photos that my mom had for the most part. So, you know, when and why did you start researching the family?
Well, my mother was always interested in it, was always writing down the family trees, as much information as she could get. And when she got ill, we moved her with my husband and I, and it just morphed from there. My father had passed away, and I didn't want her unoccupied. So I asked her what she would like, who she would like to go and trace, and it exploded. It really did just explode. I found a lot of information. I'm sure you saw the tree. It's quite large, a little unwieldy. I don't recommend it. But it kept her busy and it kept her alive for about 20 years after my father had passed away. So that's what started it. And it's a giant puzzle. And I love the history for it.
Yeah, no, I like the history too. And that's kind of why I do it. But same thing, you know, there's just some of us that are kind of chosen to do this kind of thing. So now your mom, when did she start? I mean, she must have started obviously before the internet. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have a lot of her paperwork that she had sent away for birth certificates, that type of thing. She did it old school. We made several trips together to cemeteries, one in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. The first time we went, she knew that they were there, but she didn't know their names, which is an interesting search. It took us two trips to track down her relatives in Shamokin. And we went to Connecticut. We've gone to the Bronx, of course, St. Raymond's, and in Westchester, tracking down cemeteries for her. We did a lot of traveling and research for this. And then she wanted books for my siblings. So we put together individual books for each one of them. And then it morphed into my nieces and nephews and their families. So there's probably 20 or 30 different trees that we've produced over the years.
That's great. So now, Shamokin. I never heard of Shamokin until not the last interview, but the one before that, where Antonio's mentioned that he had family or he had some family that came from Shamokin in Pennsylvania. So there you go. There's a connection there.
You can miss it.
But apparently he said there's a large Italian community there. Yeah.
There is. There's a large German community there also, but there's both. It was mining for the most part and beer. So the Germans went for the beer. The Italians went for the mining part. They made fascinating jewelry there. If you ever get a chance, it's from the dust and they call it coal diamonds. Very rare. It was antiques. The miners did it in the off seasons to get money. And it's hard to find it. I have a few pieces over the years.
Really? Oh, that's so interesting. So where, what big city is Shamokin near?
Don't know. I'm not from Pennsylvania. I just drove there. It's really a small town. I guess the closest one probably would be Pittsburgh. But it's a very poor town. Beautiful area. Absolutely stunning area. If you ever get up there and try that.
Yeah.
It's really,
yeah. So
The
now,
area itself.
do you know when and why they wound up there?
Well, that happened to be the German side, and my mother's great uncle was a brewmaster, and he ended up at the brewery there. When Prohibition hit, of course, everything shut down, and he went and started working at a entertainment place, I guess would be called. He later gets arrested for illegal gambling machines, and we'll leave that at that.
But you had to
But
do what you had to
most of
do,
the,
right?
yeah, exactly. And most of the family came into New York. I have tracked some members. They're not direct line ancestors, certainly, but certainly cousins and that went into New Orleans were involved in that horrible episode in New Orleans.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And then what's interesting is a lot of them ended up in Texas. Some in Hick in Houston and some in San Antonio. So the family did spread through Corleone and went to all over the United States.
Wow, that's something. Yeah. And you know, a lot of us, especially us from New York, we don't realize that there were Italian communities all over the country, going way, way back too, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My mother and father grew up in Westchester. I grew up upstate New York, and but I can track where they came through, and that's what's fascinating and what they did.
So now, where did they come from in Italy?
Corleone, the entire Sicilian side of the family is definitely from Corleone. I can't find them moving out of there from about 1600 on, so I'm assuming they were kind of stuck there for a long time.
Well, yeah, you know, well, people didn't move around that much back then. They couldn't. They just didn't have
No,
the
where are
means
you
to do
going
it.
to
So
go?
what? So what? What? Did you find anything really fascinating about the family going back to 1600?
Well, I like the change in names because Sicily, of course, was overrun by everyone. You name it, they had it. Yes, there was murders, there were hangings, there were vendettas. That's one of the reasons that I've come to find out that my mother's family came to the United States was because of the vendetta. I can't prove it because there's nothing in writing, of course, and nobody wants to talk about it. But that's pretty much the story of how they came through. But historically, they were very involved. There was one gentleman who was, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, Benavita, who was one of the leaders in the revolutions that occurred over the years, and there were just it was fascinating to read the history about Sicily and what happened. I had no idea
So
that it was so involved.
it's not easy getting back, especially in a small town in Sicily, getting back that far. How'd you manage to do that?
Well, some of it was actually some of it was done for me, which I really appreciate WikiTree because they did have the documentation I could double check. And it's a slow process for Sicily. It is extremely slow. I've spent years and years upon this. This doesn't happen, in a week. It's taken me years to just kind of piece together the information. And then I get sidetracked with the history part of trying to figure out what's going on during that time frame and why certain things were occurring. I found it really interesting that the women married quite young in Sicily. Some of we wouldn't put up with it today, but some of it was very young. And they would, when the wives died, of course, probably in childbirth, that the husbands would remarry almost immediately. There was a lot of stepsisters being married to stepbrothers, and it's quite the nest. It's not a tree; it truly isn't. It's a big circle, and the families intertwine historically over the years for hundreds of years. You'll find a name and track it back, and they'll intertwine again. I find that just absolutely interesting.
Yeah, well, especially in those small towns. I mean, there was only, so many, I guess, women, young girls to go around, and I know that I saw that a couple of those in my family too, where, a brother-in-law married a sister-in-law or the sister with the brother or those kinds of things. And they had to keep the family going, I guess, and that's just the way they did it.
Well, as you said, there weren't a lot of choices, and a lot of the marriages occurred because of connections, of wealth, of status. I was interested when I first started, and I kept coming up with this maestro, and my first thought years ago was, oh, they're all musicians. That's not what that means. And I laugh at myself because I don't consider my professional by any chance, but I can figure out a puzzle. And that was interesting to start looking at who was a maestro, who was a don, who was this, and it really was interesting.
So for people listening, who was the maestro? What was he? What was he?
A maestro is just simply a master at their trade, whatever that trade might be. The Don gets into, I believe, more of a leader, or not so much royalty, but leader, where they would be the town leaders, the true wealth of the neighborhood, I guess, is. There's not much in Corleone as far as wealth during that time, certainly.
Yeah, but even on a small, there was always somebody, like you said, there was always somebody in charge who had, more money, more property, than other people. I mean, some of my grandmother's family, my father's mother, she came from noble families, and in some cases it just says the occupation is property owner, and in one instance it just said rich person.
Yeah.
That was his occupation, rich person.
I didn't get
Yeah, it is, it, I like the history aspect of it too. And I don't know if you've seen it or heard of it, but I interviewed Carlo Treviso, who wrote a book called Siciliana, and fantastic book about, the French and the Sicilians back in the 1200s. Amazing, really
Yes, it
amazing
is.
story. I
Yeah.
wish I could write historical fiction. I want to try, but that's really very difficult to do.
I've attempted. I have to stay with. I'm a very literal person, so that the, but their stories are there, and it's write it, because it's important to keep that history going. I bore my grandchildren continuously, but when they need it, I'll get a phone call saying, "Grandma, help me with this."
Sure.
Wow.
I have to do a family tree.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, we that's already been done. They're a little bit older, but it's a history lesson sometimes.
I wish one. I mean, I went to Catholic grammar school, and I was able to trace back to at least that I found 23 saints. Every time I would find one, I'd say, boy, I wish I had this information in the fifth grade.
Please don't tell me it was Gate of Heaven in Queens, but
No, I lived in College Point, so I went to St. Fidelis.
okay. And I know College Point very well. One of the relatives lived there also.
German?
Spent many a weekend. Oh, sure.
Yeah, what's the last name?
Bill Pfeiffer is his name, is Philip Pfeiffer, and his mother was part of my mother's aunt, so they lived there for a long time.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. Well, that was a huge German community, and my first wife, her father was Haim, H-E-I-M, you know, it's very German. My mom was Irish. Interesting thing with her, when I looked at with her stuff, she actually goes back to some of the original Dutch people. And her, I don't know, third or fourth great grandfather, something like that, was Rickart. And okay. He owned Rikers Island. He sold Rikers Island to New York City.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, just and they were there for, geez, they were, some of them were Dutch, some were German, but they go back to some of the farms in Hempstead, you know, going Flushing and Hempstead and all those places.
Yeah, I had done my brother-in-law, my husband's brother-in-law, and he's a Scribner, and that family, part of his family started Smith Point, and of course his family has been well documented. The Scribners go from the Mayflower all the way back. We tease him, we call him Prince. But it's a fascinating history. New York itself, New York City and their surrounding area, is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. So you grew up in Flushing?
No, I grew up upstate in the Catskills.
Some of the family was down there. I have to ask you, where in the Catskills? Because we used to go camping up there a lot. Mount Tremper. I don't know if you ever heard of Mount Tremper, but it's one of those really out of the way places, which was great back in the early 70s.
Oh, okay. No, we were between, if you know where Ellenville is and Liberty.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I had a house up there, up that way.
Okay. And the reservoirs, of course, that had supplied New York City with the water. We lived across the street from the Roundout Reservoir, which is a beautiful area.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
And my father was the principal or the superintendent of the school up there. So it was a beautiful, beautiful area. It was great.
No, upstate New York is great. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like I said, I had a house up there. I don't remember the name of the town, but it was right off of Old 17. So
okay, it could have been Wurtsboro. It could have been
Wurtsboro. That's it. That's the place. Wurtsboro.
Okay. I know the area. No, but it's funny is my husband grew up on Long Island. Well, from the Queens to Long Island. And I started tracing his family actually moved from New York City to Sullivan County. And as I started the tree and started, he was related to about half my class. We met in Florida. We had no idea, you know, of each other. But we met in Florida, and turns out his family and my sister-in-law's family, my brother's wife, they're related. And pulling up the information, they sue each other over the years in the area. It's more amusing than anything else when you pull out these little pieces of information and they start to connect.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. So now have you done DNA?
I've done DNA. It's a very helpful tool to start to track back, especially people that have done trees. I get very frustrated with people that do the DNA test and then they don't have any tree. And you go, I can't help you. You know, it really brought information that you cannot get any other place. And it validates a lot of the information that you get. So I'm 50% Irish, absolutely, just 50%, nothing, you know. And then, of course, the other is German and Italian, or Sicilian, as I like to call.
So who was Irish?
My father was Irish, and his parents came in. Both of them were born in Ireland. His father came in. Worked up in Connecticut at the copper mines up there. Went back to Ireland, married my grandmother, came back. He broke horses under the L's in New York, in the docks, by the docks. and he was a stableman for a number of years. And then they moved up to Westchester.
Wow, that's a cool job,
It,
especially in New
well,
York City back then.
it, well, they were bringing in them wild off on the boats, and he would break them under the by the docks. And I find that absolutely fascinating.
I never knew that. I had no idea that that was going on in New York City back then.
Gotta think of the time frame,
Well, yeah, no, exactly. And you know, the interview before this, Carla Golden, you know, her grandfather, her great-great-grandfather built 160 something buildings in New York City. I never even heard of paternal construction.
There you are.
And I, you know, some of the pictures, I mean, I recognize these places. So, you know, that's one of the reasons for doing this is to get people's memories so that, you know, we don't lose this kind of culture and heritage, whether you're Italian or Irish or anything else, you know.
Well, as I sent you the information, my grandfather was a marble worker, and he worked at Grand Central Station on some of the pillars by the and I have one of them. It must have been one that they didn't use. So I have this pillar identical to the ones at Grand Central Station, and I love that type of thing. Is the history of that. A million people, millions of people, billions of people have seen those. He created that. He made those. He made that was part of him. And I love that part of it.
Yeah,
And
that's
like you
great,
said,
Samantha.
your relatives, they built things. You can go back and look at those, and it's fantastic.
Well, you know, I met my fourth cousin Linda, and I had no idea, you know, several years ago when we first met, how close the family was. And her mother, her grandmother, saved beads. My grandfather used to make, and his brother used to make bridal veils and bridal crowns in New York City. And she had the beads from my grandfather's store.
Wow.
And so, you know, Linda, when we met her finally, she came over and you know, gave my sister and myself and my cousin Paul, you know, a little package of the beads from my grandfather's shop. And, you know, my cousin actually used to go from Whitestone in Queens on the, you know, on the subway at probably 10, 11, 12 years old. You wouldn't do that anymore. And, you know, run back and forth from the home in Whitestone to the shop in New York City. So he was thrilled to, you know, he used to bring the finished product back and forth, you know?
Yeah, you can't replace those things.
No. And you know, my wife and I talk all the time because she actually was born in Manhattan. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It was only in the 70s where they were still, you know, millinery places in New York City. They were still making dresses and suits and shirts and all of that. That's hard to believe that, I mean, that's all disappeared now. Nothing like it.
Well, they simply couldn't do it anymore the way they did it. I know a lot of my grandfather's sisters were dressmakers, and that's what's listed on the census is that's where they worked, were in those making dresses. I some of them were more. My grandfather was a marble worker. Some of them were mechanics. They went on. They didn't have a lot of schooling. I don't think my grandfather went past eighth grade, but it didn't happen then. It simply that was enough for them.
Well, yeah, things were, I suppose, a lot less complicated, and you know, they had to work. I mean, you know,
They had a soul.
the kids used to work, you know.
Well, there were nine in that family, so they had to work.
Yeah, well, same thing with my mom's family. You know, my mom didn't get her first doll. I probably 1930, 1931, 32, whatever it was. Until her sister was able to buy it for her, because her sister was probably, you know, 15 years older than her or something like that. You know, so, you know, and my aunt used to tell us that Christmas they used to get an orange.
Yes, I've heard that that's my father's situation. That's what they got.
Yeah. And they were thrilled. They were thrilled to have it, you know.
It was special.
Yeah, people, we're spoiled, and the generations behind us are, I think, even more spoiled than us.
Well, I'm amazed at what my parents saw. My father didn't drive until he went into World War II. They had a horse and wagon. And my mother was a little more, she liked fast cars. She started driving at 16 and never stopped. But there was a big difference in culture there. And it's what they had. My grandparents were one of the few that had a radio in their neighborhood when they first came out. You don't think about those things now.
Right. Yeah. You know, my uncles were still, they were delivering ice in New York City into the 40s.
Yeah. Yeah.
People didn't have refrigerators back then.
I remember my grandmother's ice box. She's kept it. It was, they eventually got her a refrigerator, but she still had, when I was a child, still used the ice box.
Yeah, see? It's amazing, right? I remember, I don't remember the coal, but I remember seeing the coal chutes in the basements. By that time, they had already, you know, was switched over to oil. But I still remember and asking, what's that? And, oh, that's where they used, you know, they used to send the coal down the chute and everything like that. I mean, the kids nowadays, I don't think they have a concept of radiators either, you know.
Oh, no.
Or forget radiator, telephones.
Our first telephone, I grew up upstate, because upstate was pretty wild back then. You know, it was pretty well cut off and was one of those candlestick. You had a party line. It was one of the candlesticks ones. We weren't allowed to touch it as children, trust me.
Really?
But everybody, oh, no, we don't
That's
touch
so
it.
Funny.
But there were three or four people on that line and everybody had a different ring. But my grandchildren laugh at me when I tell stories like that because they have no comparison.
So I didn't know that. So if you were on a party line back, so you had your, so you would always hear everybody's ring, but you knew yours to pick up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh boy. Yeah. I'm getting an education here. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'm dating myself. I'm old. What can I tell you?
Oh yeah. Well, so am I, but well, you know, they just recently said that. So on TV the other day, people they don't remember phone numbers anymore. I still remember my phone number as a kid.
I could tell you my home phone number.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Did I tell you what my husband's cell phone number is? Nope.
No, right. Exactly. Exactly. No, I don't know. You know, the cell phones. I mean, the home phone, but the cell phones, I don't know anybody's number. You just go on the thing and pick it. But my phone number at home and before area codes was, I remember it was, you know, it was Independence, IN34791.
My mother knew her. I know it was a Murray Hill number, but I wouldn't know it. I didn't grow up with it, but she remembered it forever. That was their number. That was their identity.
So they must have lived on, they must have lived in Manhattan on the east side, I guess, because my father worked for the Daily News and his phone number, the Daily News phone number was MU21234.
Yeah.
Very easy number.
Well, that's nice. Yeah.
Well, it was a business, you know, it was the Daily News number. So, you know, they probably got to pick that, you know. So now your husband's family, where are they from and, you know, what did they do?
Well, it's his family gets he's half German, and half Irish, but his grandfather was born in South Africa, so his family went from Ireland to South Africa, and then came to the United States. The German side came over from Germany, and moved upstate New York. No reason for it. They weren't farmers, but I believe at that time they were giving Germans farms because they wanted the land produced, and it was an opportunity. They weren't necessarily good at it, and they didn't last long. I think it was like a generation they lasted, and moved back to New York City for work because there was nothing up there. They weren't good farmers. But the land was important to them.
Yeah, I could, well, I can understand that. And so it's, I guess you have, farming even back then. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing, I suppose. Even,
I hope so.
one of the toughest things that I've ever heard of, trying to make a living at, is farming. It's expensive to do it, and the equipment now and all of that kind of stuff. Very, very hard to do. So in all this research, what was your most fascinating find or story?
Well, there's so many, but I think it took me 20 years to find my great grandmother anywhere. There wasn't a census record with her on. There was nothing. I very, very difficult to find. And when I did finally find it after 20 years of searching, the name was spelled so badly. That it was, I was so excited though. It took me, I mean, I really, you have to understand that 20 years of research and to finally find this piece of paper that gave my what they thought her spelling of her name was. And it was worth the effort, but frustrating for people.
And I tell people, don't give up. And sometimes you just have to walk away for a while, and then come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, every once in a while, you have to take a break. I get so immersed in the culture for whatever side I'm doing at that time. I tell my husband, I just came back from Italy. I'm sorry, I'm not really here. But you do, you get immersed in the. I call it DNA memory when you start doing this. And he laughs, but my grandfather was a marble worker. He worked in cement. And I don't know if you've experienced it, but you find that you can do things without knowing why you know how to do them. And it's happened often enough. So I kind of believe that there's some type of genetic memory embedded in us. They haven't proven it yet, but there has to be something. In our family, we see a long trend of musicians and artists. Where does that talent come from over the years? And it's very, the numbers, when you start looking at the numbers of people that continue that profession without the assistance, there's got to be something genetic there.
No, I agree. And I interviewed somebody about that. And she calls it emotional DNA. And, that's exactly what she says. We get our physical characteristics from our ancestors. We also get these other characteristics. And, my example of my family is my brother could pick up anything and draw it. I mean, he could look at, he probably could have done Rembrandts. He probably could have forged Rembrandts. That's how good he is. I can't draw a straight line. So how do you
It
explain
came
that
from
other than that
somewhere.
it's ingrained somehow, right?
Yeah. It's very odd, but when I start looking historically at what people did, and you go, okay, now it makes sense. But nobody talked about it. It's not like I knew about it or anyone knew about it. But when you see the number of physicians, the number of artists, the number of musicians, you go, it had to have come from somewhere, just that ability. And maybe
Well,
mine
yeah.
is
No,
searching people. Yeah,
exactly.
I find it more of how did I know how to do that? I've never done it before, but it made sense to me. I can't explain it, but I encourage people to do this. It really does give you a sense of yourself when you do your family history. Of where you came from. It's important for people to do this. It truly is. It's time consuming, it's aggravating, it's all those things, but it's fascinating.
Well, and I believe that they want us to they want us to find them. It's
Oh.
just ingrained on some of us to do it.
And it's very strange. It got to the point at one point that there were so many coming in, you couldn't grasp how many people, and then nothing for years. And then all of a sudden you'd get this little group of people saying, "Hello, I'm here. Could come do this?" And it's been a wild time for this.
Well, yeah, and my second great grandmother was she was from Lucerne, Switzerland, and I figured, I'm never gonna find anything on this woman. It's just not gonna happen. And I just was, Googling one day, and I came across the two books from the 1850s that had listed the officers in the Neapolitan army. And I'm looking through this book and I'm looking for my great grandmother's name, Gracilo. And I found my great grandfather, my great great grandfather, and Filippo Caracciolo. He was a lieutenant in the Neapolitan army. And I look right above him and I see this Bernardo Moore, same spelling as my great great grandmother. And I'm like, wow, this must be him. And he was a mercenary from Switzerland working for the Neapolitan army. And I was able to find her family now back to the early 1500s in Switzerland. These clues, they, like you said, they just appear,
It's funny because the Swiss attacked my great grandfather's the town he came from in Germany and burned it to the ground. So in about 1600. So
I didn't know the Swiss did that. I thought they were peaceful. Maybe, but I guess that's
Oh
the
no. As my you really annoyed someone, but that kind of. Those little bits and pieces, and they fall into your hands, and it's you recognized that those were your relatives. That's great. Not everybody can do that.
Yeah, well, I have I found a painting of my ninth great grandfather. He was a his he him and his son, they actually owned much of what's today's Campania is. That's how wealthy these guys were. And I found this picture of him, and I said, boy, I have a picture of myself when I was, 27. I look like this guy.
Okay.
And so I was able to put it in black and white and change the aspect so we were facing the same way. And we're not exact copies, but just certain things, the eyes, the eyebrows, certain things. And I showed my wife, and she would be the first one to say, you're nuts, right? I showed my wife, I said, look at this. And she goes, oh my God, you look like, who is that? And I said, it's my ninth great grandfather.
It's amazing. I have a cousin, and as she's aged, she could be my grandmother's clone. It's almost scary how much that they look like. I should put pictures together because it happens. It's just that one person.
Well, yeah, and I found several things like that. I found one of my cousins, one of our cousins in Italy. I saw her picture and I went, my goodness, she looks just like Susan. And when they were young, they were like a perfect match. I found another one. Somebody sent me a picture. I believe the woman in the picture was around my grandmother's age, my father's mother. And they were I don't know if they were first or second cousins, but they looked, I mean, they look exactly alike. I mean, you would think they were sisters. That's how close they resembled each other. And
Yeah.
when you come across these things, it's fantastic. And one of the people that I met just recently, Kate Kelly, she's called the Photo Angel, and she goes to antique places and yard sales and things like that, and she looks for pictures with names on the back, and then she researches that, and when she finds the family member, she sends them the pictures and returns the pictures back to the family.
Right.
It's just such a wonderful thing to do, you know?
Absolutely. That's well, I always feel this urge to do somebody's family tree for them. And it's, most people really don't want you to do that. But it's fascinating. There's several people that do that on Facebook with the photos. And they cannot help but buy that photo and track the family and go, do you want this? And I've been fortunate. I have the family photos. I don't have I have never come across something at a thrift store or a garage sale that I could say, oh, that's got to be somebody else's.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Yeah, not that I look. But when we were in Italy last year, and I met my father's first cousins that I never knew existed. They had my parents' wedding picture from 1944 that my grandmother had sent to them. So that and that was just it was just like mind blowing. But like I said, those come out of the woodwork. So one last thing. So I'm assuming you've been to Corleone, yes?
No,
No, you've
no.
been to Italy. You haven't been to Corleone yet?
In fact, my son has offered to take me next year to Italy. I asked him if he would go to Sicily. He said absolutely not.
Oh,
But
no, Sicily's beautiful. I'm going to talk to him. We love Sicily. It's so nice.
my brother goes over about twice a year. And he absolutely fell in love with the southern part of Sicily. He said he would definitely go back there, but they go over, and he's probably been 20 times over the years, at least. And he loves Italy. He absolutely loves Italy. My ch children's father was Italian. It was a Di Stefano. And they're from Italy, and they're much more interested in that side of their heritage. So I'm okay with that. It's about my
Well,
grandson and my
yeah,
son.
Sicily. I mean, Sicily is so. My wife's mother was from Sciacca in Sicily, and we really liked it there. I mean, because you drive around the island, and as you look on one side, there's the blue sea. The other side is the mountains. I mean, it's just so nice. Yeah, you're gonna have to go back to Cor. You gotta go home now, you know.
I'm not turning down a trip
No,
to
I don't
Italy.
blame you. I wouldn't
Yeah,
either.
I think I'll take
The other place that I mean, I think if we were gonna buy a house anywhere in Italy right now, we'd be in Calabria in this place called Scilla, which was just stunning. And from there you could actually see Sicily in the background.
Well, see, the Di Stefano size is Calabrese. So that's the area that side of the family came from. Or my
And
children's.
Calabria is, the Calabrian coast is just fantastic. Some of the smaller places are the real Italy, That's the way I feel anyway.
I would love to see them because I know that the houses were painted for different reasons and they kept that house color. And they continued to keep that house color. If it was yellow or pink or whatever color it was, I would love to go back and find the relatives and figure out what they were at that time.
Yeah,
That would
yeah.
be, But that fascinated me with the house colors that they don't change them. It's not like, you go from one color to another. If your house was blue when it started, it's going to be blue now. And it's
I'll tell you what really blows your away now, and you like one of the places we stayed at from the outside. It was, and this was in the old city in Naples. From the outside, it was like, oh my goodness, this is where we're going to stay. And then you go inside, and it's this modern place. It's so strange. You're walking up these steps that you walk up the steps, and you're thinking to yourself, people have been walking up these steps for 500 years.
It's fascinating. They're all worn. They kind of left that dip in them.
Worn and steep, and all of that kind of stuff. Not good for old people, but we made it through. We
Well,
got
you
there.
asked at the beginning what brought me into this, and I did remember that this is a document. I don't know if you could see it, but this was my great-great-grandfather's baptismal certificate out of Germany. And I have the original. So it was one of the things that really got us started on the complete family tree. And those are the things that are important.
Well, there's always that hook. I mean, what started me on my journey was my great grandfather's card. That always used to be in the family photo album, that my grandmother had bought. I'm so jealous of people who tell me, oh, we have the family Bible going back 120 years, and it's got everybody's name in it and all of these things, kills me when I hear that.
I have weird things. I have postcards that my grandparents sent back and forth to each other. And my grandmother was German, my grandfather was Italian, and they yelled at each other in German and Italian, and neither spoke the
That's
other
so
language.
funny. Well,
But
Italians didn't speak the same language either. So,
no, they didn't. Well, even in Sicily, the languages can change from town to town.
that's
So
right.
it's,
That's exactly. Well, Mary, this has been a lot of fun. Great stories. I really appreciate you taking the time.
I enjoyed it. I'm glad I've watched a lot of your cast, and I watch a lot of the genealogy shows, and there's never like that average person on there.
I know.
And this is what I'm doing today. I'm just the average person. I've spent a little bit more time than a lot, but it's important to get the stories out there. Thank you. I appreciate it. And you'll probably get a few more subscriptions. It's a rather large family,
Oh,
I'm
great. I
sure.
appreciate that.